97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I'm alright. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Hope you're all right. It is Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. I'm Mark Cox, along with my partner, Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman in here.
Pew, pew.
Running the music today. Great job, Carl.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Bo, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I do want to interject here that it is August at Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road. A lot of people are like, wow, it's right there off Manchester and 270. They are celebrating Argus. Well, I'm calling it Argus, but any parts, accessories, you want a new trigger, you want optics or whatever for your AR, they've got great deals going on right now. And if you've never been to Razorback Armory, you're going to love it. Start your journey. Get their directions at RazorbackArmory.com and tell them Bo sent you in.
All right. Yeah. Hey, we got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to have a little outdoor recreation we're going to be talking about. Going to have a little indoor training we're going to be talking about, particularly for the ladies. And that's important, right? It's something we've addressed a few times here on the show, but maybe not as specific as what we're going to get into today with our guest. Specifically, ladies, if you conceal carry or you want to conceal carry and you're wondering where to conceal it on your body. We're going to have some good advice for you, Bo.
You know, I will tell you this. I compare this to, and maybe I'm a chauvinist, I don't know, but back in the day when I think it was Weber Chevrolet featured, hey, come see Barb, our salesperson, and they were pleading to women to come buy from another woman. I think training for guns by a woman is different, because when my wife and I took the CCW class in Florida, I remember walking out of the training and my wife looking at him, at me, and going, man, that guy was a lot. I mean, you know, it could be intimidating. And so I think that experience being trained by another woman might be a little bit more friendly of an experience for you. So I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a good conversation.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. So we got that coming up for you today on the show as well. We'll talk about a great opportunity to get out and play some golf and help raise money. You might earn something. You might win a golf cart. That's one of the items they're going to be raffling off.
Those are not cheap.
No, like probably 11 or 12 grand, some of the big ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's for the guns and hoses and backstoppers. So we're going to talk to my buddy Bobby Jones about that. He's leading that charge. But you don't have to play golf to win the golf cart. So we'll tell you about how you can get involved with that.
So Bo, I have to ask a question here. Because you sent a text message out to us the other night about some mosquito repellent. Now, I don't know if you're marketing this stuff or what, but I'm in my backyard with my grandson this week, and I was getting eaten up by these little no-see-ums, which I hate.
It's awful.
It is awful. But if you've got a solution here, I need you to share this with the people.
Okay. We've all, you know, accidentally sprayed off in our mouth, or, you know, trying to get, you know, body coverage or whatever. A few years ago, I was listening to the Duck Dynasty guys, Phil Robertson, and they were, I don't know, they were just talking about bugs in Louisiana, where they live, where it's swampy. And we're a little swampy right here in the Midwest. And they said that they used Victoria's Secret's Bombshell perfume. And it deters mosquitoes. So I'm sitting on the deck the other night, and a couple of years ago when I heard this, we did order a bottle, and it was not cheap. It was like $80 for a small bottle. I sent you guys a picture of it. It was a lot, but I'm thinking, hey, Phil Robertson, man of God, he's not going to lie. And I'll tell you what, the stuff works, but you smell, you know, like a nursing home elevator, but I mean, for as much as you got to put on, but highly recommended if your wife's not going to take your man card, if you put on a little Victoria's Secret's Bombshell, highly recommended. I mean, how many times have you taken a shot of citronella? That doesn't work either.
Yes, well, true.
And they also said Skin So Soft worked for a while, but that was only through Avon. And I don't even know if they even make that anymore. So I guess it's the flowery smells that they don't like.
I don't know.
It tends to be trendy, right? I remember growing up, and my dad took me fishing up in Minnesota, northern Minnesota, somewhere, you know, land of a thousand
lakes.
Where
Bo was born.
Yeah, and
no.
I
was born in Japan, grew up in Minnesota. Thank you.
And I specifically remember that we had to have this certain kind of spray, Deep Woods Off kind of stuff that had DEET in it or something like that. So we covered ourselves with it, and we walked into the woods carrying this canoe. We had to walk through a wooded area to get to the lake, and you could hear the mosquitoes humming. Like when we entered, when we entered the woods, and they ate us up. It didn't. Whatever we had on did not work at all. So if it cost me $80 a bottle, I might be willing to try that. I just have to tell
you. If it works for me. It doesn't do much for the romance when I'm wearing it, but you know that's okay. It does work. It again, Bombshell by Victoria's Secrets. I'm guessing they still sell it, but. We've milked this bottle along because it's $80.
Yeah, no kidding.
But a few spritz and you're off to the races. So that's my recommendation.
Well, you know, either that or some Old Spice. You don't think that'll work? That's cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when you spray it in your mouth. That's the worst.
That,
you
know, that's the
overspray.
Worst. Yeah.
It is. It is. I know we want to talk about the fish. And I just can't even believe that you can win this kind of money.
So I saw this story, and I passed it along to Bo and to Carl. Did a guy in Maryland is in a fishing tournament. This is pretty. So it's off the coast. It's ocean fishing, right? Up near Ocean City, Maryland.
I've been there. It's a lovely beach.
And it's a billfish tournament, which means you're getting rewarded for catching fish that have a bill, right? And there was a shortage. Apparently not many people caught marlins this year. It was a 5-day competition. It ended on August 12th. The dude that won caught a white marlin, which apparently is a fairly rare fish. It's more rare than a regular marlin, right? Regular marlins get to be 500 or 600 pounds. The white marlin is a smaller fish. So this record-setting marlin only weighed 77 pounds.
He said it was like the Super Bowl of fish.
Right. Right. So, but it was a world record at 77 pounds because they apparently just don't get that big. He won $4.4 million in that fishing tournament for snagging that fish.
Unbelievable.
77 and a half pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, we have catfish bigger than that in this area, but I know. That's pretty cool. And throughout the 50-year existence of this tournament, they've doled out more than $86 million in prize money. Mark, I'm just going to say we ought to go on vacation, do a little offshore fishing to get practice up for next year.
I think I'm with you. How would you feel about this? So the guy that won for the biggest blue marlin caught one that weighed 511 pounds, and he only got $1.2 million. I'd feel a little ripped off, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you think about that.
And how much does the government take off of that?
Most of these guys own their own boats, right? The Cabana was the one this guy was in who caught the 511-pound marlin. Lord knows how much they've got invested in those boats. Ocean-going boats that you can take huge groups out on them. And the boats probably cost $700,000 or $800,000. All he's doing at this point is recouping his expenses.
Right.
I mean, I'm not crying for him. That's a hell of a prize.
Well, and then somebody got a 71-pound wahoo that got $24,500, and then somebody got a almost 60-pound dolphin fish and got $31,700.
And the other guy got a 250-pound tuna and got $1.2 million.
They gave away $6 million that day.
For Charlie the Tuna. What did it cost him? They must have had some huge sponsorship. Mm-hmm. I mean, or it costs a lot of money to enter. But I'd love deep sea fishing.
Yeah, it reminds me of your stuff in your fish story.
Yeah, I caught a sailfish one time in Mexico. If you missed that story a few weeks back, and the guys convinced me it was a pretty rare catch. I didn't think I'd ever catch anything that big again, and I decided to have it mounted. Only to find out later that the $250 I put down that day was about, I don't know, an eighth of the total cost by the time I got the thing crated and shipped to me from Florida. It was really a disaster the whole way around. I've still got the fish, and I'll never get. My wife has tried to throw it away a couple times. I'm like, I paid $1,200 for that thing, and I am not letting you get out of here.
Ever.
Ever. Stay in.
And where is
it
today?
It is in the basement, hanging on the wall, where nobody ever goes, for the most part.
And it will be next to you in your grave.
My son goes down there, you know, when he was still living at home to play video games. We don't spend a lot of time in the basement, although now that my daughter's in high school, maybe she'll be down there some more.
Scaring the kids.
Yeah. And that fish made it to Mizzou for 4 years. It's got a college degree. When my kid went to Mizzou, he took the fish with him because they thought it was cool. It had various pieces of clothing, as you can imagine, hanging off of it over the years. Now it's back in my basement. Yes.
Hey, you know, your son has a house now. He could take it with him to the new house.
I tried. They didn't think it fit in with their, you know, late college decor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they're serious working men, and they're after other game. Let's put it that way.
Ah. The females don't care for the fish?
Apparently not. Apparently it's not something that's luring women. So my wife would agree with that. She didn't like
it. She wants it out loud.
That's why it's in the basement. I do enjoy texting back and forth with you guys to figure out what we're going to talk about on the show. Smith & Wesson CEO came out with a strong statement, and I got a little flavor of Star Wars here because it was almost and I bring that up because he said, we are going to be here. Smith & Wesson is going to be here as much as we are, you know, propagated and everything, that we are going to be here for, you know, centuries to make sure that you have the ability to protect yourself. And I thought of you, Carl, because you're a big Star Wars fan.
I am.
It's almost like a voice from the past. Hundreds of years, Smith & Wesson will still be around.
Nice. Love my Smith & Wesson.
I love that.
Good stuff.
Google the letter to see the whole letter. It's fantastic.
We'll do it. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Elizabeth Starks. She's an NRA certified trainer. She's going to talk to us about some of the classes they have at the range, St. Louis West, specifically for women. It's all straight ahead on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Fitting on the Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, we're talking 2A and we're talking training, and specifically we're talking about training for the ladies. And I think that's great, Bo, because we've had a guest on before who traveled out of state to get some of that training, but it's important to know it's available right here at home.
It really is. And the story that always comes to mind for women who carry guns that are not trained, there's a story of somebody that I know that I was at my poker bash last year, and we were raffling off guns. You were there.
I was there.
And she goes, oh, I have a concealed carry already. And I was like, oh, cool. And she wanted to show it to me. So she opens up her purse and showed it to me. I said, wow. Said, how often have you gone out shooting that? And she goes, I've never shot it. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I remember that.
Get rid of that.
I remember that.
Get it out of your purse. Yeah. So anyway, it is so important for men and women. And if you identify with an umbrella, that you need to train too.
Let's talk to my friend Elizabeth Starks. She is one of the trainers at the Range St. Louis West out in Baldwin, and it's always great to get her on here on Manchester Road there. And Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Great to get you back on the radio. I had you on my show earlier this week, which gave me the idea that, you know what, Elizabeth needs to come on and talk to our audience on Second Amendment Radio, because you gave us such great information. And tell us a little bit about your approach to training, specifically the classes you have that are focused on women.
Yeah. So really the curriculum is the same as my co-ed classes. And so we cover all the same materials, but we do definitely talk more deeply about some topics. I think it's assumed that a woman can pick up a gun or any defensive tool for that matter and, you know, use it the same way as a man would typically look at a tool like that. I think it's normal for men to pick up a tool like that and just, you know, send lead downrange. Easy day.
Yeah.
I think women have a little bit more of an apprehension to it, a different mindset that we have to overcome.
Yeah. Do you get that feedback from people? I mean, what are some of the concerns that people raise, let's say, in your first time gun owner class if it's a women's only class?
Mostly it's, well, a lot of them have never even seen a gun before.
Wow.
You know, like in person. And if they have, it's just, you know, it's just a scary thing. And I bring up the fact a lot that if you consider all the movies and TV and media and everything, you rarely see someone shooting a gun for fun. And it's hard to learn something, especially something that's capable of lethal force, envisioning someone at the end of your barrel. So I try to remove the scary aspect of it and try to put my passion into my teaching so that women can also realize that it's a fun thing to do, because training is so important. And if it's a terrifying thing, you're not going to train. And if you don't train, then if a critical situation does happen, it's terrible. So I just try to put a spin on it to make it a less scary thing and a more fun thing. The self-defense mindset is a completely different topic, and then shooting guns is its own topic.
Elizabeth, Bo Matthews here. I heard your conversation on 2A Tuesday, and it was fantastic. You do teach co-ed classes. Is it really the majority of women can shoot straighter, more accurately than men generally, would you say?
You know, I've heard that from so many people, instructors as well. You know, I don't really think so. I think that women and men both have their own attributes for this, you know, and I think women think more deeply about it, so they're a little more open-minded to, you know, hearing, you know, and I honestly wouldn't even say that. I've been actually pleasantly surprised that I can pretty much talk to anybody that I'm teaching, and everybody's open-minded and taking what I'm having to say. And I just think that we do it differently. We take a different route. We all get from A to C, but how we get, you know, use B in there is just a little bit different. Whether we think different and it takes us more time to put more rounds down range more accurately, or we get more rounds on target, just sheer quantity. So I think women shoot less and take their time more. Men maybe shoot a little bit faster and you know, go that route. So I don't know. It's just a very interesting thing.
Well, I bring it up because my wife is an excellent shot. I mean, just out of the gate, she picked up a pistol and bam, she was right on target. I was like, wow, you were like a natural. You're like Annie Oakley over here. And so I've always thought that, and I thought it was because, you know, guys were just like, we can do this, and you know, they're, you know, that's why they want the bigger clips, so they can, you know, so they can eventually hit the target. But when you do your classes, do you also do self-defense type of stuff even without firearms, or is it strictly firearms training that you guys do?
Yes, we do self-defense-minded classes. One of them that comes to mind is our college student awareness class, safety class. And while it's named to be geared towards college student, it's definitely a great class for anybody to take. We use a lot of information in there that comes from a very popular book by Gavin DeBecker called The Gift of Fear. And we take some of those concepts and apply them to real life situations, and are able to have, you know, conversations with people about certain situations in their life they've never been, you know, really aware of. It's like, oh, I didn't realize that's what was happening. And, you know, it just kind of opens your mind a little bit. The self-defense minded aspect of that is a part of it. And then also our CCW class is really, the shooting is minimal. The beginning of the class, we definitely talk about guns. And then the latter half, we talk about legal stuff. But there's a lot in there specifically just about self-defense and just that mindset. I think self-defense is more a mindset than anything. It's not, you know, the tool that you use or, you know, what you do with your hands or anything like that. That's part of it, but really the mindset and how you're going to react in those critical situations, I think, are super important topics that we tend to cover in our classes.
Yeah, it's true. We're talking to Elizabeth Stark. She's one of the trainers at the Range St. Louis West, 14803 Manchester Road out there in Baldwin. And, you know, I would say when it comes to campus safety, because I've had two kids go through school now, my biggest concern for both of them, and I know you guys teach this in this class, is situational awareness. Because if you're walking down the street anywhere and your head is buried in a cell phone and you're not paying any attention to what's going on around you, that's problem number one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely got to keep your head out of your phone. And it's not that you have to be paranoid, but the phone has changed our lives so much. And the people that do have their heads down on their phone, you know, don't really care about everybody else. But the criminals or the people that might want to take advantage or, you know, victimize you or violently attack you or just steal your purse or your whatever, they're not keeping their heads on their phone. They're the ones that are looking around, paying attention, and they're going to pick the easiest victim. And the victim that has their head in their phone, not paying attention to their surroundings and coming up and, you know, close to them, you just don't even realize it. So the phone has a huge role to play in our lack of awareness. And we talk about that heavily.
Yeah, that's so true, because people use their phones to not engage with people. They'll just, I'm busy looking at my phone, or I'm busy on my phone. And that's the worst place to be. I would like to shift gears with you to extend the question of when women carry, they have these fancy purses with a nice little slot that's secure, or the fanny pack, which I wish would come back for men, but it doesn't. But where do you feel it is best for women to carry? The purse, the fanny pack, or literally on their body? And I think I know what you're going to say, but are the others just as effective?
That's a great question, one that comes up a lot. And I think you, like you said, you know what I'm going to say. It's definitely on your body. There's been countless situations where, well, first off, a woman, a lot of times, is just targeted because of their purse. So if they're carrying a purse and that's where their tool of self-defense is, that's not a good day if that gets taken, you know, because not only did you lose all your belongings and everything, but you have no way of defending yourself if that person was going to be violent with you, because their goal is to get your purse away. If you carry the tool on your body, first off, it's not usually assumed that a woman is carrying a lethal tool in their body. So it you would have the element of surprise, I think, in that regard. But another thing that I bring up with that a lot of people don't consider is how stressed out are we already with our purse? You know, when we set it down or hook it on the back of our chair at a restaurant, we're always keeping our eye on it to make sure nobody's going to run off with it. But if you have a gun in it, that's even more of a stress. I mean, you can't put it down anywhere, not to mention around your kids or just, you know, at home, even in your safe place, you always have to be aware of it. And to have to go digging into that thing if you needed it, that's quite a predicament.
Yeah, it is. So is it in the belt, in the waist? Because that's a conversation I've had with my wife, with some other women I know who can still carry. That, you know, women, let's face it. I mean, I don't know about, I saw Bo the other day, had on the Sands about pants, so you got the relaxed waist. I'm just kidding. But women wear clothes that are tighter generally, and carrying concealed, whether it's, you know, on your back, right hip, or wherever, can be, you got to plan for it, correct?
Yes, absolutely. There's been some really wonderful holsters that have come out within the past couple years. I have one myself. It's made by a company that designed a beltless, I mean, really pantsless type holster system here, and it's pretty awesome. It's all contained in itself. It's a belt that goes around your waist, and it has the holster attached to it.
Oh, wow.
It's extremely comfortable. I can wear it wearing a dress. I can wear it with leggings. I've taken it to a trampoline park. My 3-year-old calls it a jumpoline park, but and it's so secure. And I don't wear really tight clothing, but I do wear shirts that are a little more form fitting than what a guy typically would. And I was able to do a front flip, and that thing just stayed put and didn't go anywhere. And it's actually a full size gun. And I didn't have to have a belt on. I didn't have to have jeans on, and it wasn't bulging or anything. It's just a really nice system, and we sell them at our stores. They're called the Filster Enigma. I'm happy to, if anybody wants to reach out, I can show them that, help them put it together or whatever. But it really changed the market substantially, and guys wear it too. Phil and Vinny and a couple other people at our store also have them and can go bike riding with them or go to the gym or or whatever it is that you need to do, and it's just fantastic.
So the next time I see Phil, I should ask him if he's wearing his Spanx.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to figure out how you get it out of your holster if you're wearing a dress. That would be a trick. But anyway, I guess we need to find out more about it. The name of that, the brand of that holster is what again?
It's called a Filster Enigma. So Filster is P-H-L-S-T-E-R. So okay. It's Phil okay. Without the I.
Well, I did just see the bra holster. Have you know how some women, you know, that are, you know, voluptuous will just, you know, put their phone in their bra and carry their money around in their bra? There's actually a holster mark that you can wear if you have a bra. It like clips to it. I don't know how it works, but
I have two different kinds of those, and I think that that's a very specific niche. It works for some people, not for others. It's not particularly secure for active use. If you're, you know, jogging or,
jumping,
you know, being athletic, just not, very secure there, but it does work for some people who are not, you know, bouncing around a whole lot. Like, you know, somebody I know that wears it to work every day, it does require a little bit. Well, it requires more training on drawing concepts and reholstering, for sure. It can be a little bit of a dangerous situation because of where it's pointed.
Well, you know, a great conversation, Elizabeth. And I know you told me in our interview earlier this week that the range, which has just tons of training program on the website, I would encourage people to go to therangestl.com, click on that training tab, find a class that's coming up. You told me you will specifically are planning a CCW class just for women, correct?
Yeah, you got it. Okay. Our first one is on September 10th.
I think I heard something about wine is served afterwards.
No,
I'm like, Mark, we've been trying to get together for a bourbon for a long time. Can we go to the range and then go have a bourbon?
That's girls just want to have guns. They after the guns are put away, then they bring out the drinks, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. That's what I heard.
Yeah, maybe Bo and I'll come up there and take a class. How about that? That'll be fun.
There you go.
Elizabeth Starks, listen, we appreciate your time today. Great having you on here. Great information, and I hope to see you soon at the range.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Yep. Tell everyone we said hi out there. Appreciate that. Again, therangestl.com. They're out there at 14803 Manchester Road in Baldwin. A great place, great folks, great training. They've got an indoor range downstairs. Love that place, Bo.
Okay, that's part of the two-way part of the show. The Great Outdoors, ooh, Dr. Green has been calling you, Mark. There is a huge golf tournament coming up. We're going to find out when we talk to Bobby Jones from the Eureka Chamber of Commerce. It benefits, ultimately, backstoppers. We'll tell you all about it coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews. That's Mark Cox. And we've got special background music for the intro of this segment. Isn't this Shaft?
Yes.
It is. As in, okay, what's maybe the... on a golf club?
On when you're on the golf course,
yes.
You're playing with the shaft of the club.
That's a
sometimes
stretch,
you
buddy.
Gotta
that's
reach, but that's
well,
okay.
Well, there are not... Okay, so now people will email me. There are not that many songs about golf. There are songs about playing golf poorly.
True.
But there are not songs.
Themes,
there's a Toby Keith song.
From Caddyshack.
Well, see, I did think of that too, but we've used that before, and I wanted to try something else. And the one Toby Keith song that I want to play is Filthy, because it's about playing golf poorly.
Ah. Well, that
except
would
he doesn't,
describe my golf game.
He does not use the word poorly.
Everybody's going to be Googling that right now. Here's the thing. As soon as I heard about this tournament, this golf tournament, it's a charity golf tournament that's happening on a Friday, September 9th. And I thought, man, finally, it's so rare that happens. But Aberdeen Golf Club is putting on the 9th annual Eureka Chamber of Commerce annual golf tournament to benefit Guns and Hoses, which ultimately benefits backstoppers. I thought, Mark, you got to do this. This is a Friday afternoon. You can recover for the weekend. But that's not going to happen because you've been booked.
I've been booked that weekend. I've got to go out of town for a wedding, or I would love to be there because, you know, my strategy for golf these days, Bo, is to surround myself in a scramble with people who can golf, and then it makes right. me look better. If I hit the occasional putt or, you know, the occasional approach shot, sometimes I can get the ball off the tee okay, then I'm happy. If I've contributed, I'm happy. So I love
it. You could flag down the drink cart as it's coming by. That would be my contribution to the foursome. We got Bobby Jones. He's been a friend for a long time. He's part of the chamber out in Eureka, and he's kind of heading up this golf tournament. So Bobby Jones, welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors where people go golfing. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We want to get the word out because we're looking for golfers for September 9th. Tell us what you've got set up for Aberdeen Golf Club.
Yeah, so like you already mentioned, the fact that it's a Friday is pretty rare. Unlike Mark, I play in a lot of golf tournaments, it sounds like. I'm a ringer, is what they say.
Nice. Usually they're on a
Monday or an odd time, but Aberdeen allows us to come out there on a Friday afternoon. It's at 1 o'clock, so you can even put in a half day work if you need to, and you still come out and enjoy the day. The weather's almost always perfect in mid September like that. We're down to just a few teams left, so we got a lot of interest in the tournament. It's been gaining a lot of momentum, but yeah, you can hit up the website, you can sign up a team. We're raffling off chances to win an $11,000 golf cart from a local business here in town, so you can get tickets for that. We got sponsorships available, or if anybody just wants to come out and support a good cause, we'll have. Our police chief will be there. The fire chief will be there. We'll have fire trucks. All the the whole shebang will be out there.
So. Wow, you're going to get Chief Wiegand and Chief Brown out there at the same time?
Yeah. Well, they do fight in a cart. They ride around together. They don't golf, so they are not golfers. But I know it's shocking. They drive around and give each other a hard time and try to see who can raise the most money for the police or the fire department, and have a little competition amongst themselves.
Yeah, because this actually all benefits Guns and Hoses and ultimately Backstoppers. Can you connect the dots? I mean, because you and I did a video about this on Facebook, and I appreciate your time doing that. But why does the money go to Guns and Hoses and then Backstoppers? Can you explain that diagram?
Yeah, so what we try to do at the Chambers, anytime we do a fundraiser, we kind of try to earmark the funds from a specific event for a cause. And we're fortunate enough that our police chief and our fire chief are obviously very active in the community with those roles, but they also go above and beyond and are very active in the chamber and supporting all the other local businesses in the area and that kind of stuff. And they're very big supporters of the Backstoppers, and they're very involved in Guns and Hoses. So what we do is we try to reach the $10,000 sponsorship level of Guns and Hoses. So we're one of their top sponsors, and we've done that the last 4 years, and we're trying to increase our sponsorship level. So our goal is 10,000 and above. And what it does is Guns and Hoses is designed specifically just to raise money for Backstoppers. And I believe that's their biggest fundraiser of the year for that organization.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a couple of dominoes, but yeah, we just start there and see how it goes.
Well, I think this is a go ahead, Bo.
I think this is a great opportunity for when you go to a charity golf tournament. A lot of times you're playing a course you've never played before. Mark, have you ever played Aberdeen Golf Club?
I have. Yeah, I've played several times over the years.
Oh, wow.
It's beautiful.
And it's a Scottish links. Is that what they call it? It's a little bit different.
It kind of banks up against the Merrimack River. You'd never know that it's just right there, but it's just in an old river valley, and it's got a lot of rolling hills and long, thick grass that kind of brought a Scottish feel, right to Eureka. So,
yeah. Yeah, it is a great golf course. I just remind people, I often take for granted that they understand what Guns and Hoses is. Maybe a lot of people listening to us do, probably. But if you don't and you've never attended, it is a fundraiser for Backstoppers. It is a boxing competition between the firefighters and police departments. All submit people who have the guts to train and get in the ring and go at each other. And it is an entertaining night. If you've never been to it, I love going every year. It's always the night before Thanksgiving, so there's no excuse. Everybody's home from out of town visiting. And I really hope the tickets may be on sale already, aren't they, for Guns and Hoses?
I don't know. Do you know that, Bobby?
I don't, but I imagine they will be. If not, we can get that information. We put all that on our website and all that good stuff, too. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the number one beer sales night at the venue all year long. So it's a good time for everybody that goes.
It really is. As a matter of fact, for several years, my father and I, because my dad was a Golden Glove boxer back when he was in the Air Force, for several years, I want to say there was 3 or 4 years in a row, we would go get a tattoo, each of us on in the afternoon, and then we would go to the Guns N' Hoses fights, and we always had a blast at that event. It's fantastic. And you notice it's the firefighters fighting the police officers. The paramedics are not fighting, but they are sure on site in case they need to be, in case their services need
to be. There were some great matches last year, I tell you what. And honestly, you know, the one, I think maybe the one I was most impressed with was one of the ladies' bouts. And they were getting after it. I'm just telling you. It was fantastic. You know, I went to this years ago, and then my wife, her father was a St. Louis County police officer. And we both have such a great admiration and respect for, you know, all of our first responders, the police, firefighters, paramedics, everyone. And I started taking her again a couple of years ago, and it's a tradition for us now. We love going down there and doing that, and I really wish I could come out to your golf tournament on the 9th and help out with that, because what a great effort.
Yeah, all the proceeds go to the same spot. So you can support us. You can go to Guns N' Hoses. It all contributes to the same thing. That's what we're all about. So,
yeah, I also want to point out Bobby Jones, our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, eurekachamber.org/events to get registered for the golf tournament. You can also go on the Eureka Chamber of Commerce Facebook page to get more information about this golf cart. And you don't even have to golf to buy one of these chances of this golf cart. How many neighborhoods is it legal now to ride around in a golf cart? You got to check it out. And it's really cool. It's like Bobby mentioned at the front of this, it's like worth 11 grand. I mean, you can get a golf cart for, you know, a couple grand, but this one is really nice, seats 4 people, and I think it's $25 a chance on this, and there's only going to be 1,000 tickets, so it's going to be a great fundraiser for Guns N' Hoses. But even if you don't golf, if you go to Goose Creek or you go down to the Lake of the Ozarks and you can drive a golf cart around your neighborhood, you ought to get in on this drawing even if you don't golf. That's just a great way to do it. Are you guys sold out on sponsors real quick, Bobby?
We still have a couple of sponsorships available, and if you go to the claim website, it'll have a nice menu item of what's sold out, what's available. But it's a lot of exposure. We'll have a full field. We'll have 36 teams. So a lot of people will see your name or your business if you want to go ahead and sponsor something.
So can people buy chances on the golf cart online?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's where we're getting most of our sales from. You can sign them up. You don't have to have a ticket. We'll stay at all. We're gonna draw it the day of the golf tournament. At the end of the day, we'll do it live on Facebook, all that good stuff. Maybe we can convince Bo to help us with some of that.
I know
he helps us out with a lot. So,
I'm pulling my ticket, buddy.
Yeah.
You don't have to be there to win. We already paid the taxes on it, so it's not like we're going to give you a prize and then stick you with a sales tax bill, so it's all taken care of. And we're going to try to deliver it that night. We'll just load it up, take it to your house. So.
Wow, that's great. So people can go to eurekachamber.org /events if they want to buy one of the raffle tickets on the golf cart. That would be fantastic.
Or several,
yeah, I would hope.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people buy, you know, 4, 8, 10 of them, so...
Well, Bobby, thank you so much. We appreciate this time, and keep up the great work with Guns N' Hoses. Again, the Eureka Chamber of Commerce Annual Golf Tournament, Aberdeen Golf Club, September 9th. Oh, and by the way, we forgot to mention, it's a shotgun start at 1:00 in the afternoon. So you don't even have to get up, you know, bright and early to get out there. You can, you know, like Bobby mentioned, you can put it a half day or as Mark Cox would do, a whole day before going out. But again, go to eurekachamber.org/events to register. Bobby, thank you much. We'll see you out there, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bobby, thank you. Thank you very much. Yep, take care.
No problem.
Good stuff. Yeah, but now that he mentioned that he's a ringer, I'm going to have to, go
be
out
on
there
his team.
Bring him onto one of my other scramble teams when I play occasionally.
Isn't it kind of like usually a Navy SEAL doesn't say they're a Navy SEAL?
Usually.
And for him to say, I'm a ringer, it ain't cocky if you can back it up.
That's right. That's right. If you can walk the walk, you can say that all you want. And you're right. By the way, Bo, a 1:00 start is ideal because I could finish my morning show, actually go home and get a nap, and still make it out in time to play golf. That's perfect.
you know, if you weren't leaving town, you know, we could get a helicopter for you to get you to the wedding.
Yeah.
Come on, let's work on this. We know people, right?
You know somebody has a plane?
That might cut into their profits a little bit.
Yeah, right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, yeah. Going to be a great weekend. Bonfire weekend, I think, for us this weekend.
Going to be fantastic. Enjoy whatever you're doing in the great outdoors. And we'll see you next week on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys. Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews. That's Mark Cox. And we've got special, special background music for the intro of this segment. Isn't this Shaft?
Yes.
It is. As in, okay, on a golf club?
When you're on the golf course,
yes.
You're playing with the shaft of the club.
That's a
stretch. Sometimes you got to reach, but that's
well,
okay.
Well, there are not... Okay, so now people will email me. There are not that many songs about golf. There are songs about playing golf poorly.
True.
But there are not songs. There's a Toby Keith song.
From Caddyshack.
Well, see, I did think of that too, but we've used that before, and I wanted to try something else. And the one Toby Keith song that I want to play is Filthy, because it's about playing golf poorly.
Ah. Well, that except would never describe my golf game.
He does not use the word poorly.
Everybody's going to be Googling that right now. Here's the thing. As soon as I heard about this tournament, this golf tournament, it's a charity golf tournament that's happening on a Friday, September 9th. And I thought, man, finally, it's so rare that happens. But Aberdeen Golf Club is putting on the 9th annual Eureka Chamber of Commerce annual golf tournament to benefit Guns and Hoses, which ultimately benefits Backstoppers. I thought, Mark, you got to do this. This is a Friday afternoon. You can recover for the weekend. But that's not going to happen because you've been booked.
I've been booked that weekend. I've got to go out of town for a wedding, or I would love to be there because, you know, my strategy for golf these days, Bo, is to surround myself in a scramble with people who can golf, and then it makes me look better. If I hit the occasional putt or, you know, the occasional approach shot, sometimes I can get the ball off the tee okay, then I'm happy. If I've contributed, I'm happy. So I love scrambles.
You could flag down the drink cart as it's coming by. That would be my contribution to the foursome. We got Bobby Jones. He's been a friend for a long time. He's part of the chamber out in Eureka, and he's kind of heading up this golf tournament. So Bobby Jones, welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors where people go golfing. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We want to get the word out because we're looking for golfers for September 9th. Tell us what you've got set up for Aberdeen Golf Club.
Yeah, so like you already mentioned, the fact that it's a Friday is pretty rare. Unlike Mark, I play in a lot of golf tournaments, it sounds like. I'm a ringer, is what they say.
Nice. But, I'll remember
usually,
that.
Usually they're on a Monday or an odd time, but Aberdeen allows us to come out there on a Friday afternoon. It's at 1 o'clock, so you can even put in a half day work if you need to, and you still come out and enjoy the day. The weather's almost always perfect in mid-September like that. We're down to just a few teams left, so we got a lot of interest in the tournament. It's been gaining a lot of momentum, but you can hit up the website, you can sign up a team. We're raffling off chances to win an $11,000 golf cart from a local business here in town, so you can get tickets for that. We got sponsorships available, or if anybody just wants to come out and support a good cause, we'll have our police chief will be there. The fire chief will be there. We'll have fire trucks. All the whole shebang will be out there. So.
Wow, you're going to get Chief Wiegan and Chief Brown out there at the same time?
Yeah. Well, they do fight in a cart. They ride around together. They don't golf, so they are not golfers. But I know it's shocking. They drive around and give each other a hard time and try to see who can raise the most money for the police or the fire department, and have a little competition amongst themselves. So.
Yeah, because this actually all benefits Guns and Hoses and ultimately Backstoppers. Can you connect the dots? I mean, because you and I did a video about this on Facebook, and I appreciate your time doing that. But why does the money go to Guns and Hoses and then Backstoppers? Can you explain that diagram?
Yeah, so what we try to do at the Chamber is anytime we do a fundraiser, we kind of try to earmark the funds from a specific event for a cause. And we're fortunate enough that our police chief and our fire chief are obviously very active in the community with those roles, but they also go above and beyond and are very active in the chamber and supporting all the other local businesses in the area and that kind of stuff. And they're very big supporters of the Backstoppers, and they're very involved in Guns and Hoses. So what we do is we try to reach the $10,000 sponsorship level of Guns and Hoses. So we're one of their top sponsors, and we've done that the last 4 years, and we're trying to increase our sponsorship level. So our goal is 10,000 and above. And what it does is Guns and Hoses is designed specifically just to raise money for Backstoppers. And I believe that's their biggest fundraiser of the year for that organization.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a couple of dominoes, but yeah, we just start there and see how it goes.
Well, I
think this is a,
go ahead, Bo.
I think this is a great opportunity for, you know, for when you go to a charity golf tournament, a lot of times you're playing a course you've never played before. Mark, have you ever played Aberdeen Golf Club?
I have. Yeah, I've played several times over the years.
Oh, wow.
It's beautiful.
And it's a Scottish links. Is that what they call it? It's a little bit different.
Kind of in it kind of banks up against the Merrimack River. You'd never know that it's just right there, but it's just in an old river valley, and it's got a lot of rolling hills and long, thick grass that kind of brought a Scottish feel, you know, right to Eureka. So,
yeah. Yeah, it is a great golf course. I just remind people, I often take for granted that they understand what Guns and Hoses is. Maybe a lot of people listening to us do, probably. But if you don't and you've never attended, it is a fundraiser for Backstoppers. It is a boxing competition between the firefighters and police departments. All submit people who have the guts to train and get in the ring and go at each other. And it is an entertaining night. If you've never been to it, I love going every year. It's always the night before Thanksgiving, so there's no excuse. Everybody's home from out of town visiting. And I really hope people. The tickets may be on sale already, aren't they, for Guns and Hoses?
I don't know. Do you know that, Bobby?
I don't, but I imagine they will be. If not, we can get that information. We put all that on our website and all that good stuff, too. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the number one beer sales night at the venue all year long. So it's a good time for everybody that goes.
It really is. As a matter of fact, for several years, my father and I, because my dad was a Golden Glove boxer back when he was in the Air Force, for several years, I want to say there was 3 or 4 years in a row, we would go get a tattoo, each of us on in the afternoon, and then we would go to the Guns and Hoses fights, and we always had a blast at that event. It's fantastic. And you notice it's the firefighters fighting the police officers. The paramedics are not fighting, but they are sure on site in case they need to be, in case their services need
to
be.
Hey, there were some great matches last year, I tell you what. And honestly, you know, the one, I think maybe the one I was most impressed with was one of the ladies' bouts. And they were getting after it. I'm just telling you. It was fantastic. You know, I went to this years ago, and then my wife, her father was a St. Louis County police officer. And she's got, we both have such a great admiration, respect for, you know, all of our first responders, the police, firefighters, paramedics, everyone. And I started taking her again a couple of years ago, and it's a tradition for us now. We love going down there and doing that, and I really wish I could come out to your golf tournament on the 9th and help out with that, because what a great effort.
Yeah, all the proceeds go to the same spot, so you can support us, you can go to Guns and Hoses. It all contributes to the same thing, and that's what we're all about. So
yeah, I also want to point out Bobby Jones, our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, eurekachamber.org/events to get registered for the golf tournament. You can also go on the Eureka Chamber of Commerce Facebook page to get more information about this golf cart. And you don't even have to golf to buy one of these chances of this golf cart. How many neighborhoods is it legal now to ride around in a golf cart? You got to check it out. And it's really cool. It's like Bobby mentioned at the front of this, it's like worth 11 grand. I mean, you can get a golf cart for, you know, a couple grand, but this one is really nice, seats 4 people, and I think it's $25 a chance on this, and there's only going to be 1,000 tickets, so it's going to be a great fundraiser for Guns and Hoses. But even if you don't golf, if you go to Goose Creek or you go down to the Lake of the Ozarks and you can drive a golf cart around your neighborhood, you ought to get in on this drawing even if you don't golf. That's just a great way to do it. Are you guys sold out on sponsors real quick, Bobby?
We still have a couple of sponsorships available, and if you go to the claim website, it'll have a nice menu item of what's sold out, what's available. But it's a lot of exposure. We'll have a full field. We'll have 36 teams, So a lot of people will see your name or your business if you want to go ahead and sponsor something.
So can people buy chances on the golf cart online?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's okay. Where we're getting most of our sales from. You can sign them up. You don't have to have a ticket. We'll stay at all. We're gonna draw it the day of the golf tournament. At the end of the day, we'll do it live on Facebook, all that good stuff. Maybe we can convince Bo to help us with some of that.
Sure.
I know he helps us out with a lot.
I'm pulling my ticket, buddy.
Yeah.
You don't have to be there to win. We already paid the taxes on it, so it's not like we're going to give you a prize and then stick you with a sales tax bill, so it's all taken care of. And we're going to try to deliver it that night. We'll just load it up and take it to your house. So.
Wow, that's great. So yeah. People can go to eurekachamber.org/events if they want to buy one of the raffle tickets on the golf cart. That would be fantastic.
Or several,
yeah, I would hope.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people buy, you know, 4, 8, 10 of them, so...
Well, Bobby, thank you so much. We appreciate this time, and keep up the great work with Guns and Hoses. Again, the Eureka Chamber of Commerce Annual Golf Tournament, Aberdeen Golf Club, September 9th. Oh, and by the way, we forgot to mention, it's a shotgun start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So you don't even have to get up, bright and early to get out there. You can, you know, like Bobby mentioned, you can put it a half day or as Mark Cox would do, a whole day before going out. but again, go to eurekachamber.org/events to register. Bobby, thank you much. We'll see you out there, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bobby, thank you. Thank you very much. Yep, take care.
No problem.
Good stuff. Yeah, but now that he mentioned that he's a ringer, I'm going to have to, go
be
out there.
Be on his team.
Bring him onto one of my other scramble teams when I play occasionally.
Isn't it kind of like usually a Navy SEAL doesn't say they're a Navy SEAL?
Usually.
And for him to say, I'm a ringer, it ain't cocky if you can back it up.
That's right. That's right. If you can walk the walk, you can say that all you want. And you're right. By the way, Bo, a 1 o'clock start is ideal because I could finish my morning show, actually go home and get a nap, and still make it out in time to play golf. That's perfect.
You know, if you weren't leaving town, you know, we could get a helicopter for you to get you to the wedding.
Yeah.
Come on, let's work on this. We know people, right?
You know somebody has a plane.
That might cut into their profits a little bit.
Yeah, right. Good stuff. Well, going to be a great weekend. Bonfire weekend, I think, for us this weekend.
Going to be fantastic. Enjoy whatever you're doing in the great outdoors. And we'll see you next week on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.